The Land of Pan. I want to tell you some stories to help you understand more fully what I am talking about, and these can be very enlightened and helpful stories if you can let yourself be triggered. The popular version of the history of Earth is not entirely accurate and is another example of twists and turns on judgments. As I have said, many people have tried to avoid their responsibility on Earth in many ways, pretending not to remember things that they have not wanted to remember is one of the main attempts at this, even to the extent of doctoring history so that it sounds better to the one seeking to avoid responsibility. Although this has not really worked, as quite a few people have felt that straightforwardness is lacking. Many people have been denying so much that they have only a small, narrow opening through which information can be received. This has to be reversed now, because it has reached dangerous proportions on Earth. These stories of the past will help open your channels so that you can begin remembering what you have denied for so long. In the beginning, when spirits first entered the earth, it was in a land called Pan, which is now under the Pacific Ocean. In the land of Pan, or Pangaea, no one had to earn a living. Everything sprang forth without effort. Every need was met by simply desiring it to be met, and the forms in which it was met often surprised and delighted the spirits. For example, a spirit only needed to say, "I want to taste something good," and something delicious would appear, often in a form that had not been seen before. If a spirit wished to experience swimming in water, a pool at just the desired temperature would appear, having all the things about it that the spirit particularly liked. If a group of spirits wished to swim, the pool would have everything everyone wanted. In the beginning, many of the spirits could change forms, and although some had more mastery of this than others, all could and had the ability for changing forms. It was not unusual at this time for a spirit to do acrobatics on the way to a pool with arms and legs, and then, upon diving into the water, transform legs into a fish tail if swimming was more fun in that form. Later, if there was a desire to fly, wings would appear. And some spirits began taking this for granted. They received without feeling gratitude, and even began to use these gifts to their own advantage. Hoarding of the abundance and the use of form to present the self as other than what it was were two of the ways in which these gifts began to be abused. Earth was created to be a living fairy tale without any shadow of evil or doubt. The ones abusing the gifts did not know how to live on Earth, and many did not accept or even like Earth's intended way. They tried to make Earth spirits feel that their fairyland was silly, immature, and just a pretend world. And to the spirits denying Earth, it was a pretend world because they held a different view of reality within themselves. These spirits had home planets other than Earth and were lost. They would not admit this, but instead these spirits acted superior and said they had come to protect Earth and all the spirits who insisted on living in this silly fairy tale with no protection from what was really going on in creation. Not long before this time, there had been a war in the heavens. The fairies and elves, brownies and pixies, dwarves and gnomes, mermaids, and all the other fairy folk of Earth had felt that the war was over. They were in a healing, celebrating mood. These other spirits, who claimed they had come to protect them, did not want the war to be over. These spirits had emerged during the war in the heavens because they responded to the energy and started the fight. The earth spirits had emerged earlier than these larger fighting spirits in a great burst of golden light and had fallen away from me before learning everything they had needed to know to be on their own. Some older rainbow spirits and some angels had gone after them to see if they could help because it did not seem that they should already be on their own. All of these spirits had come to Earth, and they all had one thing in common. They all had hidden feelings of rebelliousness toward me. Many of them believed I had let lack of acceptance among my different kinds of spirits go to unnecessary extremes, and that because I did not stop it, this had resulted in the war in the heavens. I want to give a short synopsis of what happened on Earth so that you can understand how the Earth came to be so dense and slow that magic seems lost and manifesting and changing form seems difficult and slow. This is also how it happened that nearly everyone now feels they have to work for a living or inherit money. If Earth spirits feel their true feelings, they feel that Earth is not the way it was meant to be, but that everything has become a trade-off or a compromise. Long ago in Pan, the air smelled of flowers, and the earth was soft with mosses, grasses, and sandy beaches. The rocks were gemstones, and the waters were liquid light that sparkled and danced. The weather and even the seasons changed in reflection of the moods of the spirits. This harmony manifested as music, and even the wind in the trees and the waves of the seas gave rhythm to these melodies. The monkeys and cats and all the birds sang and danced with the fairy folk. The fish and the mermaids even sang in the seas. Everything glowed with colored light during the golden day and also during the soft blue night. Desire manifested reality so easily that a loving spirit could extend a hand toward a tree, and that tree would flower immediately. Reality appeared to change magically, affected by every spirit's feelings of how it should be. I have to speak lyrically here because Pan was so magical, musical, and free, and is what many fairy tales are based on. The spirits there allowed entry of many spirits who claimed they wanted to be a part of this reality, but many of these spirits only came to disagree with them about how Earth should be, which they invaded Earth and claimed they did not. These were fighting spirits who said they were warriors sent by me. The rebellious ones had too much fear to ask me to make it clear, and they feared that I was angry with them for leaving me too soon. They also feared the spirits who were telling them they were wrong and were speaking for me. They dreaded and feared that they deserved punishment. These fairy folk did not know these warriors had another place they were supposed to go, and they did not understand that these warriors would create conflict wherever they went because conflict was what had called them forth. These warriors claimed they were just in time to hold the line against danger that was lurking around and protect these childish spirits who were refusing to see what actually lurked hidden in everything they could see. These warriors did find danger and strife lurking wherever they looked because that was how they wanted it to be, and that was all they could see. The more the warriors claimed to be finding danger on Earth, the more the other spirits began to fear that the warriors really had reason to be there on Earth. The more the Earth spirits began to fear, the harder it became for them to stay clear. The Earth spirits no longer felt sure that joy and freedom had much allure if they were being naive about danger lurking near. Some of the Earth spirits even feared that struggle and strife were a necessary part of me and of life. These spirits also had fear that they had to listen to these warriors because they could not depend on me anymore or on what they thought creation was meant to be. They even thought I did not look much to Earth because they were not interesting to me, and that what they were doing did not have much worth. Judgments were made here that changed their reality. It was no longer considered appropriate to be creative, wild, and free. Everyone now was supposed to be orderly. The warriors reflected these fears by saying the Earth spirits would not be hearing directly from me anymore. They said I had sent them as my emissaries and intermediaries to head up Earth, implement my orders, and protect them from realities full of hidden dread. The warriors were lying, but the Earth spirits did not suspect this at first. In this way, step by step, the warriors began to lead the spirits on Earth exactly where they dreaded to be. Everyone on Earth still tried to be joyous and free, and play and say they still could live in their old way. The warriors said that they had saved the day, and the Earth spirits felt they could not be sure. The warriors wanted Earthlings to live by rules and said, because we cannot protect unpredictable fools. The head of the warriors then began to say there were so many marauding spirits flying around that we need more protection than what has already been found. He was not completely wrong either, for as long as the warriors were there on Earth, there was always going to be something to fear. The warriors have a purpose in my creation, and I am not unloving toward them. But earth is no longer their right place. The head warrior called for more protection over and over, more and more, so loud and long that Earth finally answered the call by placing some protective fire dragons in the skies. These fire dragons had taken on an intimidating form that was huge enough to encircle the Earth, and they hung out in the skies, watching everything with very sharp eyes. With their breath of fire, they blew away spirits that did not want to enter the earth. But they did not remove any spirits that were already there. The dragons did not believe that they could or should, and so denied their true feelings. There were many on earth that they wanted to send away, but feared it was wrong and that they might scorch others who got in the way. If the dragons had accepted their own true feelings, they could have found a way. But instead, the fire dragons held in many of their true feelings and only expressed toward spirits trying to enter for the first time. These denied feelings became dense within them because they were not allowed to move. When their density caused them to sink toward Earth, they began to take turns in the sky while the others went to the fire seas, deep in the Earth, to purify themselves of what had made them too dense to hang in the skies. They got there through secret and guarded passageways that opened only to the fire dragons. In the fire seas, the fire dragons vented their feelings, which often meant dumping them out. While the fire dragons regularly purified, their denied and pushed away feelings opened the way for one among them to become treacherous and foul. In actuality, this fire dragon feared his own worth and had externalized this as right place issues of power and position. This dragon interpreted right place in my creation as a judgment of worth, which it is not. This fire dragon saw self-worth as who had the most important place. This fire dragon actually wanted to take my place, but he planned to begin by awarding himself what he saw as the most important power position on Earth. He decided he was going to make himself head fire dragon. And he wanted to be the one to say who could come and go from Earth, but he disguised his true purpose by saying that no one should judge this way. Instead, let all spirits enter, let all spirits stay. This particular fire dragon did not feel good to the other fire dragons, and his words did not ring true. But the fire dragons' own denials did not let them know what to do. The fire dragon implied that he was more loving than they were, and he said they were judging him and the others who wanted to be on Earth. This fire dragon's presence was intimidating to the other fire dragons, who did not know what to do. And he had become the biggest, and he turned his fire on them, which none of the other dragons did. The dragons had fear, and they did not speak up. The others vented underground when this fire dragon was not around. They wanted to tell him to leave Earth, but instead, they asked him to leave, and he refused. This fire dragon was asked not to allow any spirit onto Earth unless the other fire dragons approved. And the fire dragons wanted consensus, but again, he refused. Meanwhile, the warriors began refusing to protect Earth for free, and they began to demand gifts and services. Without admitting that they could not manifest like the others, the warriors insisted that tribute was their just due. In this way, they were using the light of others instead of receiving from me. Whatever they received from the earth spirits, they saw as not being what they wanted it to be. When they received something, gratitude was missing. They all complained that it was not enough, and the more they complained, the more they decided they needed to demand for themselves. Their power issues wanted complete control. The warriors demanded everything as their just due, and still they felt empty and incomplete, and as though what they were receiving was not enough. The earth spirits felt they were having to agree to more and more control and less abundance for themselves. The earth spirits had fear, which many of them covered with anger, and their fears about me did not allow them to ask for my help. They called out my name and said they were asking for my help, but greatly feared that they would hear nothing, or that I would not give them the answers they wanted to hear. They beseeched me for help, and I did not answer. And so the earth spirits feared even more than that I had sent the warriors in my place. I did not send the warriors, but I also could not lift this struggle off of Earth. And the warriors had their own viewpoint in place of hearing me. Other spirits who had gone to Earth to try and help found that they also felt unreceived and far away from my light. There was growing confusion and fear, and the treacherous fire dragon planned to take advantage of the situation. He suggested that they would all feel better if they had a big party and invited all to forget their differences and celebrate what they had. And he even volunteered to guard Earth alone that night so that the other fire dragons could go to the party. The other fire dragons did not trust the treacherous fire dragon, and they decided they would take turns guarding with him that night. One of the fire dragons could not stand being on duty with this treacherous fire dragon. When it was the fire dragon's turn to take watch, he left his post and went to the fire seas, telling himself everyone was so busy partying that no one would notice. He did not feel good about doing this, but his own denials did not allow him to find another way to exercise what he thought was his own free will. The treacherous fire dragon had a plan and had been hoping there would be a time when he could be alone in the sky. This fire dragon had been communing with another force that opposed me, and as soon as this fire dragon was alone in the sky, he called to that force and let it onto earth. He thought he was about to gain control of all of earth because he thought he could control this force and have it intimidate earth for him. However, this force had another spirit already controlling it that this fire dragon had not seen because of his power delusions. This spirit blasted past the fire dragon with that force and hit Earth with its hot, dry, raging cosmic wind of destructive anger. The fire dragon, who had thought he was about to take over, was scorched and thrown to Earth like a discarded rag doll. He was barely able to crawl into a cave and hide himself. With such agony, he tried to abandon his form to escape his pain. The hot, dry wind raged across the face of Pan that night and sent the Pardian one scurrying for shelter. It burned off vegetation, seared great cracks into the land, and made it unbearably hot and steamy on earth. Its raging fingers reached into the earth itself, causing volcanoes and earthquakes. The hot, dry wind could not stay in one place, and it raged on, wreaking destructive every place it went, until finally it seemed to burn out. The earth spirits feared that it was me who had hit earth to punish. Then some thought the fire dragons must have done this, but when they sought the fire dragons and asked them, the ones they found claimed they did not know anything about it. When they found the treacherous dragon, he claimed he had suffered terribly trying to defend Earth. The other dragon, who was supposed to be on guard with him, said that he had been hurt also. The Earth spirits now had even more fear of me, because they did not know how the hot, dry wind had come to Earth. They did not know if it would return or not, and they feared they could not depend on anything. The head warrior said that the existing protection was obviously not enough. The Earth recovered from this as best as it could, but the land was not as abundant or as beautiful as it had been. As the spirits healed themselves and the earth, they tried to return to their own ways and find some joy again. But they had scars they were not able to heal yet. In seeking their old ways, they also sought old friends. And when many of them could not be found, they felt a growing sense of things not being right on Earth. The spirits of Earth had not encountered death before, and they did not know what they were encountering then. But they had a persistent feeling that they needed to find their friends to know what had happened to them. In their search, they found a spirit on Earth who had not been there before. And when the Earth spirits found him, they did not know what he was or what he was doing, but they knew that they feared him. This spirit said he was a powerful wizard who had come to Earth to help heal Earth because he had experience with the hot, dry wind. This was a lie, and he did not come to heal the earth, but he did have experience with the hot, dry wind, and he was its master. This powerful wizard told the earth spirits that the hot, dry wind was all that was left of an entire universe that had destroyed itself with the raging fire of its own destructive anger. The dark wizard sought to gain control of Earth, and he seen that it could serve his purpose to hit Earth with this hot, dry wind, and thus bring this destructive anger to Earth and fan its flames into another inferno. The dark wizard also had to increase the density of Earth quickly, or he could not stay. In trying to shrink away from the attack of the hot, dry wind, the Earth and everything on it had increased its density. As soon as the dark wizard arrived on Earth, he began to ceaselessly frighten every spirit into shrinking away from him in denial of the reality he had brought to Earth. He set about squelching everything expansive, and he had helpers. I want you to know that the dark wizard is about to find himself removed from the Earth because his flames of destructive anger have reached the potential for nuclear holocaust. The dark wizard cannot succeed in destroying the Earth because the Earth itself does not want to be destroyed. So let me tell you more about what the dark wizard did to gain control in Pan. The dark wizard unabashedly told everyone that their missing friends had been eaten. When he saw their horrified response, he denied their horror by saying everyone had accepted this on his planet because they knew how to share energy and become one with each other in a way that Earth had not learned yet. He acted more knowing than anyone and said that it was only fair to take turns being and being food for those who were being, and said it was time for Earth to do this. The dark wizard had brought with him many spirits who had not been on Earth before, and these spirits had entered forms already present on Earth. As the dark wizard spoke, he pointed his finger at some of these spirits, and beings who had not done this before began fighting, killing, and eating each other, which this was frightening and strange. Until then, no one on Earth had ever eaten anything other than what had manifested solely to be eaten. No one had overpowered another against their will to this extent on Earth before. And these spirits were fighting, overpowering others, and disappearing them by eating them. The spirits being eaten were screaming with pain and terror, and this traumatized the spirits on Earth. The dark wizard said they were screaming in ecstasy, and denied that any of these spirits had overpowered the forms they had entered. He said that they were well received because many wanted to learn this lesson. The warriors liked fighting, and even though they maintained a stoic presentation, the earth spirits feared that the warriors liked this, and this made the earth spirits feel very alone and afraid. The dark wizard denied everything the earth spirits felt here by saying that these beings were only becoming one with each other. Then he said, "How could it be overpowering? It's impossible to overpower anyone against their will." The dark wizard was right, but only if there is no denial present. Once denial of true feelings got started, it increased until it began to overwhelm the very spirits who had thought denial would protect them from being overwhelmed. In the beginning of Pan, denial was non-extensive, and the Dark Wizard had his work cut out for him. He did not mind, though. He was driven by rage and hatred for me and my creation. He was intent on increasing denial and density as much as he could, and the spirits he brought with him helped him do this, which I call these spirits denial spirits, because denial fuels them. These spirits have been helping the Denial Wizard everywhere he went, and now, on Earth, they began helping him deny everything that could be denied. The Denial Spirits begin by telling everyone things that undermined their free will. I will give you an example of their approach, and you will have to do your best to interpret it. If a denial spirit were to lie down on a path through the woods, and another spirit came running, hopping, skipping, and jumping along, the denial spirit would jump up and scream, "You cannot come running right through the place where I lay." If the other spirit said, "I'm sorry, this is a path, and I was not expecting you to be lying there," without any acknowledgement that he might be the one who needs to move, the denial spirit would say, "Sorry is not enough. You might have stepped on me. Find another path." If the spirit said it would not have stepped on the other spirit because it would have noticed in time, the denial spirit would have denied the earth spirit's sensitivity, attunement, ability to notice in time, and anything else it would deny on the spot. If the spirit did anything other than abdicate to the denial spirit would continue to deny everything presented to it. When some earth spirits tried telling these denial spirits to leave, they denied their right to do this, claiming they had been there all along and had as much right to be on Earth as anyone else. What they said was true as far as it went, but denial had been there all along, unrecognized. But these spirits only mentioned what furthered them, and there were many things about the situation that the spirits on Earth were afraid to look at very closely and feel. It was very upsetting to them to remember much of what had happened around the hot, dry wind or the spirits who had begun to fight, kill, and eat one another. They doubted their own perceptions and wondered how much had been happening all along that they had not let themselves notice. I have seen and heard all of this, and I have understanding and acceptance of denial spirits, because they cannot do anything with you unless you have denial they can use. Earth had denial happening already, and these spirits had an opportunity to gain a foothold, which they had an opportunity to increase the denial on Earth, and because of the unseen role of denial, these spirits on Earth were not able to find a resolution. I have studied denial spirits for a long time in order to understand them, and I am having to teach this to Earth, because Earth has become very confused by the presence of so many denial spirits. Every kind of spirit has had to face denial spirits. Denial spirits have taken every form there is and reflected the denial of every kind of spirit. Denial gave form to these spirits, and when denial ends, these spirits will no longer be present on Earth. In the meantime, as you end your own denials, they will trouble you less and less. If the spirit on the path in the woods had no denials, he would not have gotten entangled in any denial in that moment. He could have continued running, leaped over the denial spirit, and been gone. In this case, the earth spirit's denials had grown big enough that the denial spirit had become an intimidating form. There were many denials present there, but the imbalance my light wants to mention now is that, not wanting anyone to spoil his good time and become turned around in this spirit to not thinking it was all right to spoil anyone else's good time. The spirits on Earth did not have enough experience to know who was meant to be on Earth and who was not. Since there has been both denial spirits and loving essence mistakenly denied, many spirits on Earth have been confused about how they really feel here, and have tried to figure out how they should feel. To end your own denials is going to allow you to sort this out. Those who do not belong on Earth are being directed by my light to their right place. Everything has its right place, where it is not any problem to be the way it is. Everyone on Earth has had misunderstandings about loving acceptance that caused them to think they had to pressure themselves to accept things they did not like and refrain from expressing any other feelings about it. Only now have Earth spirits seen enough to be able to understand this. And then they tried to accept everything as just another spirit's way. The basic denial that allowed denial spirits to take advantage of Earth was denial of me. My presence was denied here, and for a long time, I have not been able to give the understandings I wanted to give, and I need to give them now. After the original entry of the hot, dry wind and the denial wizard's introduction of physical death through overpowering, the spirits in Pan experienced another event that greatly increased denial. The denial wizard began challenging everyone to duels of magic, as he called them. There were many wizards on Earth, and for the most part, only wizards accepted his challenges. The denial wizard defeated everyone who accepted his challenge, and he won by denying the validity of the other wizards' approaches, by insisting that the duels had to be conducted according to his rules. A number of wizards saw his duel for what it was and refused his challenge. Some of the wizards saw him gaining power on Earth and thought that he must be stopped. There were also many other spirits on Earth who feared he was gaining power and wanted him stopped. Others denied their fear by saying that he was not such a bad guy after all, and some said his power gain was only an illusion that they were not going to believe in. Spirits increased their denial in many ways and looked at less of what was really happening on Earth because they did not like seeing and feeling what the denial wizard was doing. This gave the denial wizard a lot of space and a lot of denial energy on which to feed, and he became more and more powerful and began to become more outrageous also. The denial wizard found he could do things right in front of others that they did not want to see, and they did not see them. If he was noticed, he denied what he was actually doing and said he was doing something else. Some of the earth spirits, who did not want to accept the horror of what was happening, actually helped the dark wizard by explaining away his outrages. Finally, one wizard stepped forward and answered the challenge of the dark wizard, because he strongly felt the need to get this denial wizard off of Earth. This wizard had studied the other duels of magic, and he had a plan, because he had noticed how the dark wizard denied everything offered to him. This wizard thought the dark wizard would refuse any terms offered to him. This wizard offered the dark wizard everything that he did not really want him to agree to. But this wizard did not realize just how extensive the dark wizard's denial really was, because the dark wizard immediately recognized the light wizard's denial. Instead of denying the denial offer, the dark wizard accepted this light wizard's denial of himself and insisted he stick to the deal. The dark wizard was not like the light wizard. The light wizard had looked at the dark wizard closely, but he had not seen him thoroughly. The light wizard had misjudged his denial, and he had misjudged his scruples, and he thought he actually had some and gave the dark wizard the benefit of the doubt. The light wizard had seen another thing inaccurately there also, which he had seen himself defeating the dark wizard and his own power ascending on Earth, but said he was doing this for the benefit of everyone else. He had that part of himself invested in this future, and so that part was not in the present. He had seen other possibilities also, and had ignored all of them in favor of his favorite choice. The light wizard did not realize he needed to withdraw his emotional energy from these unpleasant possibilities, which he had cut them off, leaving a part of himself there also. The light wizard had fear of this duel of magic because he felt he had been trapped already into doing something he now felt he did not want to do. He could not admit this because he had too much pride. This wizard also had some stage fright about doing his feats of magic in front of everyone on Earth at once. The stakes were so high, it was no longer just for fun. He had accepted, though, so he felt he had to do it, and by not allowing his fears, he had denied them. On the day of the duel, the light wizard arrived on the scene early and paced up and down, waiting for the dark wizard. Many spirits were already crowding into the area when the dark wizard arrived. The dark wizard only acknowledged denial, so he did not acknowledge many of the spirits who were there. Although the light wizard did not understand the impact of his own denial and did not call it denial, he feared denial and, for the most part, really wanted to help Earth. The light wizard began the duel of magic by hurling lightning bolts into the air, and the dark wizard responded by drying up a lake and withering trees. The light wizard did not like this, but according to the rules, he was not allowed to complain. The light wizard feared the dark wizard was using these duels as an opportunity to do additional harm to a lot of things on Earth. The Light Wizard was trying to think of what he could do that would not give the Dark Wizard an opportunity to do harm. But then the Dark Wizard began accusing him of being too slow. He announced that if the Light Wizard was so slow, he probably could not do it. And all the denial spirits chimed in on this claim. The other spirits thought it was unkind and unfair to ridicule anyone, so they did not say anything at all except some encouragement for the Light Wizard that was drowned out in the ruckus. The Dark Wizard pressured the Light Wizard to hurry up, and the Light Wizard suggested that they go immediately into form changes, thereby turning things inward instead of onto the earth. The Light Wizard changed himself into a succession of animals and ran around doing everything they would do. He returned to his own form and received the applause of many spirits who loved him. The Dark Wizard smiled a superior smile and said he would not stoop to such silliness. He insisted that the Light Wizard try something really difficult. Otherwise, it was not even a duel of magic, as far as he was concerned. The Light Wizard felt very denied here and said that if his form changes were so easy, then the Dark Wizard should do it also. The Dark Wizard scoffed. And as he stood there scoffing, he slowly turned himself into a black stone. The Light Wizard was surprised because he dreaded that particular challenge. The Light Wizard knew that the validity of anything he did, other than turning himself into a stone, was going to be denied by the Dark Wizard and made to look silly. He did not want to argue with the Dark Wizard, and let it be known that he was not afraid. He pondered what to do and decided he would have to try it, and he felt quite sure he could turn himself into a stone, but he did not know if he could get back out of it. He told himself that he must do this or look like the loser. While the Light Wizard was thinking all of this, the Dark Wizard returned to his wizard form. The Light Wizard knew the time had come for his turn. He pressured himself to change into the form of a stone, against his will. He denied his fear and pressured himself until he finally turned into a bluish amethyst-like crystal. The Light Wizard then got stuck in the stone because he did not know how to get himself moving again. His fear of the compression had made matters worse. He had believed that he could not express his fears and also win the duel of magic at the same time, so he had denied his fear, which was considerable, and this had put him over the midpoint. That particular day, the Light Wizard went from seeing himself as the most powerful wizard on earth into finding himself trapped in a stone. The Light Wizard was fearing, suffocating, and panicking in the stone, and still he could not get out. In his panic, he sensed my presence there, and was trying to help him get out of the stone. He refused my help because he was too frightened, too panicked, and too confused to be sure if it was me or realize that there was any possibility at that time other than having to face everyone and be declared the loser of the duel of magic. He feared that he had let me down, and he thought I was also judging him. But there in the stone, the light wizard was extremely judging himself. The dark wizard ridiculed and belittled the light wizard and pronounced himself the winner of the duel. The dark wizard's supporters ridiculed at the light wizard just as he had believed they would. I did not see the duel of magic as a struggle between good and evil, but on earth it was seen as this, and even in the stone, the light wizard could feel the fear the earth spirits had that the dark wizard could get control of earth. He felt that anything he could do now was after the fact. So he felt that he had let all of Earth down. Stuck in the stone, the light wizard was so overwhelmed by his emotions that he tried to split himself off from his pain in any way that he could. He wrenched as much of himself out of the stone as he could and left the rest there. His worst pain remained in the stone, and this part needs to be recovered for the light wizard to recover his full presence on earth. The light wizard left so much of himself in the stone that even though this part of him managed to emerge, no one recognized him except the dark wizard, who saw what others were afraid to see. The dark wizard immediately pounced on this fragment of the light wizard, overpowered him while he was still disoriented, and devoured him in full view of everyone. Yet, no one seemed to see it. As the dark wizard began to walk away, his helpers picked up the stone that was still there and followed behind him. Only those who ran and hid were able to escape the aftermath of this duel of magic. While they managed to escape further direct experience with the dark wizard, they could not escape all of their feelings, and so took with them whatever effect the duel had on them. Whether they had denial of their fear or not, all the spirits who saw what happened to the light wizard in the duel of magic now had fear struck into their hearts. The light wizard lost the duel to his own denials before he even began the duel of magic, but the misunderstanding at that time was that he had been overpowered by the dark wizard. This misunderstanding gave the dark wizard a lot of power he would not otherwise have had, and so he had successfully created the illusion of having overpowered the light wizard with his own power, and he has continued to do this ever since. The dark wizard has also continued to be a master of form change, and has remained powerful because of people's denial. He needs to leave Earth soon, but he cannot leave until his stolen power has been taken back from him by the ones who gave it to him with their denials and their belief that he had more power than they did. There are many judgments about power that need released here, and he is going to go to his right place. But I do not want him to take any denied essence of loving spirits with him. I want all of you to end your denial so that neither you nor any part of you goes where he is going. If there are some places in you that do not feel like they belong to you, let me have the final word here by accepting my need to put everything in its right place. Accepting and letting go can be protected if you ask me to help you by putting everything in its right place. Then, the dark wizard can go to his right place with only his own energy, and you will have all that is yours with you. I have to tell you that if you are not ready to let go of denial and accept yourself, you will have to go wherever your denial takes you. The fear involved here may see this as threatening to you, but this is not my intent. I am the one who has been and still is warning you. I am telling you what is happening, but I am not telling you it has to happen to you. You have free will, and I am explaining what denial creates. The rest of what I want to say about Pan for right now is going to give more understandings about the denial present on Earth today. The spirits having fear of the Dark Wizard held this fear within themselves and did not express it because they did not have the self-acceptance or understandings they needed. They tried to live their life the way they had been living it before the duel of magic took place. But in order to do this, they had to deny many feelings, especially fear. Next, they repeated the pattern of the Light Wizard, which they all tried to continue doing what they had been doing, and in trying to change form, and they all got themselves stuck in varying degrees in varying forms. When they tried to get out, they found that they had to do it in the same way that the Light Wizard had to do it. They did not understand how it could be that the Dark Wizard had so much power over them. They did not realize that they were doing this to themselves. The Dark Wizard had no problem taking the credit, and he was at work trying to increase his power in any way he could. So if other spirits wanted to help him do it, he saw that his methods were working. He increased himself this way until he was looking more powerful than anyone else on Earth. He was so obnoxious to the spirits who did not like his ways that only ones who wanted to go near him were those who shared his insatiable lust for control and power over others. This reflection gave Earth spirits many more judgments that needed to be looked at now. I did not intervene because I saw that these experiences were necessary in order to gain certain understandings, and yet I have felt the pain of everyone involved. I know all of you on Earth very well, and I could see that even though you had pain and suffering, you had to learn for yourselves why sacrifice or denial of yourself in favor of others does not work. Pan changed after this duel of magic, and it was still very beautiful by any of today's standards, but it now had a more dense form of light. The manifestations and changes took longer, and they all took more effort. Instead of calling a reality to them, spirits now found it easier to go to that reality. Certain settings began to settle into certain places on Earth, and spirits who were having trouble agreeing on their surroundings solved it by leaving the surroundings in one place and going back there when they wanted to. Many spirits who still wanted the freedom of form changes begin having trouble doing it, and many got stuck in forms that limited them in ways they had never been before limited. In many cases, spirits who thought they desired a particular form in that moment in which they had entered it now had difficulty in changing the form when the spirit no longer wanted to remain in that form. And denial was the reason here. Denial of the fear that the dark wizard had power on earth was only part of it. The denial that allowed him on earth to begin with was another part of it. The dark wizard had no more power than he was handed, but he was taking full advantage of everything that came his way. The fragmenting of spirits that was taking place when they had to get out of something the way the light wizard did was taking many spirits in Pan close to their midpoint. The fear around this loss of power was not given the acceptance it needed. Instead, these fears were denied and blame began to take place. And some spirits blamed my lack of presence, while some blamed others and many blamed the dark wizard. Almost everyone involved blamed themselves to a certain extent, and in doing that, put the blame on the part of themselves that they felt had caused the problem. Some blamed their spirit and me, while others blamed their feelings or will. Many who blamed the will said that instead of accepting everything, it had resisted, and resistance had caused the problem. Many on earth did not dare to blame me, but blamed their own spirits instead in these same ways. One part of the self blaming another part of the self caused a split in the consciousness. The warring in some individuals between their own spirit and will has been very extensive. Many people have even disconnected as totally as they can from parts of themselves. This diminished the spiritual presence on earth of everyone involved, and even more, the denial reached such extensive proportions that physical death began to result. When spirits felt that they could not get any further with their own wills and the forms in which they were enmeshed, they began volitionally breaking off from parts of themselves for a while and returning later to work on realigning themselves. This began the pattern of death and reincarnation, or of focusing consciousness into different levels of existence at different times. The reality is that body and will do not completely lose awareness during the time their spirit is not with them, but they do lose the ability to express or understand it. You need to know that anything that has ever happened to any part of you will have to be accepted into your consciousness. Because it has happened to you, it cannot be denied. It is important to realize this in its full implication. Denial of what has been happening to body and will on earth has been very strong and really needs attention. Denial must be recognized in order for it to end. The longer you wait to end your denial, the more denial there will be for you to clear. Many have tried to deny that they have any denial in order to avoid the overwhelming reality they would feel if they accepted it. Many have tried to avoid the impact of what they have really done by telling themselves that God would not really let this happen. I had to let this happen, and I will tell you why now. You would not listen to me. Nothing less than the experience of everything that has happened to you on earth was going to get the understandings across to you, or you would have them already. And in fact, many will not hear me yet. I am having to intervene now, as I eventually had to long ago in Pangaea. I intervened then because I had to straighten things out enough that spirits could go on and try to resolve this for themselves. When I projected a part of myself onto Earth in the land of Pan to intervene personally, I found every sort of possible confusion of form that Earth could have come up with back then. All that needed human form and would accept help from me at that time received a human form in which to work out their situation on Earth. I also made some rules to protect form from chaos until form could be better understood on Earth. A rule I made then was that animals and humans could not join their forms together and could not mate and have children together. Prior to this rule, everything had been mixing together and forms had been going rapidly towards chaos. Although I intervened, I did not remove the Dark Wizard from Pangaea. And though he has had only the power to use denial, I will emphasize again that he took advantage of everything that came his way. Denial has been increasing on Earth ever since these times. I am intervening again because denial has again been crossing the midpoint, and I am going to bring another form to Earth that will help you work out your situation, because there is now enough experience that it can be accepted. This form is the form of right place. I now want to go on and follow these experiences through two subsequent civilizations on Earth that also had my intervention. I stepped in to restore the balance point because it was necessary. And that is what I'm having to do now.